You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is David Boyle, a Georgia attorney at law. David, thanks for joining us today.
Good to be with you.
Is it okay if I call you David, or would you prefer Mr. Boyle or Attorney Boyle? Or
David is fine.
Okay. David, I saw something online just recently, an article on the website of myfoxatlanta.com. DUI suspects face forced blood draws in some Georgia counties. Now, I want to get to that in a moment, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you just give them a little bit of background about who you are?
Sure. I've been an attorney in Georgia for 15 years. Most of that time I spent as a prosecutor. I started out in Gwinnett County being a prosecutor in traffic court and did a lot of work with DUI cases and used to train the police officers on DUIs and detection and how to testify in court and that kind of thing. And then kind of continued to practice as a prosecutor with several different district attorney's offices. And then I went into private practice in 2010, and a good portion of my practice is defending folks who are charged with DUI. It probably represents about a third of my practice, which is mostly criminal, and of the criminal, the bulk of it seems to be DUI cases.
Okay. Now, of course, the folks who did this article and this interview, they had consulted with you about it, and you stated some views that I don't think most of the listeners would be aware. If you refuse a breathalyzer test, they can literally strap you down to a gurney and, I guess, twist your neck and take the blood. Is that right?
Yeah, Georgia, like most states, has what's called an implied consent procedure, meaning that when you get your driver's license, you've essentially consented to take a breath or blood test if there's ever sufficient cause to arrest you for being under suspicion of DUI. The normal procedure for that is if you're stopped by the police and they're investigating a DUI case, that once they've done the, what you call, field sobriety evaluations, where they have you kind of walk in a line, stand with one foot up, you know, do the ABCs, and basically can observe how you're acting to see if you are under the influence of alcohol to the extent you're less safe to drive. The normal procedure that's codified is basically called the implied consent procedure. And at that point, the officer is required to, once they place you under arrest, to read you a warning that basically says that you've consented to take a test. If you refuse to take this test, your driver's license will be suspended for 1 year. And that if the test shows that you're over 0.08 grams of alcohol, then your license will also be suspended. If you refuse to take the test, the fact that you refuse to take the test can also be used against you in court on your trial for the DUI case. With that in mind, do you consent to the state-administered test? And they basically can designate a test at that point, whether it's breath, blood, or urine. And those are the tests they're doing. Typically, for alcohol-related cases, they ask for breath. The normal process was is if you refused to take that test at that time, they just marked it in the report that you refused. Sometimes they'd even take you to the breath machine and see if you refuse. There's a button for them to push R that basically marks it as a refusal and the time that you refused to take the test. At that point, they take your driver's license from you and they turn it into the state, and then you have a separate civil hearing about whether that 12-month suspension is going to take place or not. And then you essentially have one issue with regard to your license and another issue with regard to your criminal case. What's been recently happening in Gwinnett County is, as of January 1st, of this year, the Gwinnett County Police Department, and Gwinnett's a fairly metro county of Atlanta. It's got almost 1 million people in it. It's a big county. Their police department, they have a DUI task force, and they've decided that they don't want to have people refuse anymore. And so if you refuse to take the test, they do everything that I've described up to this point. But then when they take you to the jail, there's a magistrate judge who's on duty 24 hours a day. They will then tell the same information that they told to get to the refusal, and they'll ask for the judge to get a warrant to draw that person's blood. The judge finds that there is sufficient reason, and I think they do in every single case, they then authorize that. The process then is for the police department, who's different from the sheriff's department. The police department takes you and basically turns the warrant over to the sheriff's department, who run the jail. And at that point, they tell them, hey, I want to draw blood from this guy. They take the person into a separate room, essentially put him into not really a restraint chair. It actually looks like the same bed they put you in before they give you a lethal injection. And they wrap you in, cross your ankles, cross your knees, cross thighs, cross your waist, cross your chest and arms, and then forcibly turn your head to the side so you can't look at the person or dead or bite at the person that's going to take in, and then they bring in a contract person to draw blood. And so they proceed both with the blood evidence as well as the refusal in aggressively pursuing the DUI cases. The thing is that they tell you you have the right to refuse to take the test at the roadside, but they don't tell you that they're going to go get a search warrant for your blood. So what you have is some people who've been told that they don't have to give a test, and the law actually says they shall not be given a test, and then they go ahead and do the forced blood draw. And it really, depending upon how the person reacts to that, can really become a very kind of volatile situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, it does hear that in some Georgia counties, how many counties are there in Georgia? Would you happen to know?
159.
How many of those 159 would you know are doing this?
I think there's four of them that are doing it now. There's a county on the other side of Atlanta called Douglas County that's been doing it for about 2 years. They're not doing the forcible draws where they're not holding people down and having the sheriff's department do it. The reason this kind of came to light is because Gwinnett County, when they did it, their rapid response team at the jail, basically their tactical team at the jail, is the one who are doing it, who come in to deal with unruly inmates. And for liability purposes, they videotape all of their encounters. As a result, those videotapes became open records under Georgia law, so we're able to actually get them. There isn't any video from Douglas County, but there's a couple other counties in North Georgia that are also doing it. But Gwinnett is going to be the biggest population-wise. I think they've done about 120 already this year.
So half of the year, 120, so they're on course for about 240, 250, or probably more as obviously the holiday approaches.
Correct.
Now, what's your problem with this issue? Do you have a problem with it? Do you think it's okay that they do this?
No, I've got two big things that I have objections to it. One is that there is a statutory procedure that basically sets up the whole implied consent procedure that basically says that you've implied to consent to the test and that if you refuse to take the test, no test shall be given. And that's exactly what's in the code that says that. In 2006, the legislature went back in and amended that code section to include a different thing that basically says this shall not be the exclusive remedy and that police can use voluntary consent or search warrants for obtaining evidence, which basically saying before there was a specific procedure you had to follow, and if you didn't follow it, then the evidence would be suppressed. They then added another code section that basically says, but you can also go other routes, but they didn't say if you go the other routes, you can't also do the first route. So the officers are pursuing both of them simultaneously, which basically has a practical effect of this, is that you can refuse to take the test. They can then get a warrant and draw your blood. The problem is that they're suspending your license for 12 months for refusing to take the test. The blood result may actually show that your blood alcohol level is below the legal limit. You might say, hey, I don't want to take a test. Say you had one drink and you have a 0.02 blood alcohol level, which in Georgia, 0.08 is the limit. So there's nothing illegal about you having that blood alcohol in your system. However, they're now suspending your license for a year because you refused to take the test. That process takes place prior to getting the blood result back, because all the blood goes to the state crime lab. Might be months later, the license procedure regarding what happens to your license takes place very quickly. You have to appeal within 10 days of your arrest to get a hearing. That hearing usually takes place within 30 or 60 days of your arrest. And in that situation, you don't have any ability to know what the result is. The only way you can avoid the suspension is by actually being found not guilty of DUI, which might not take place until a year later when you can actually go to court and have a trial. And at that point, you're found not guilty. Well, you've already served a year suspension. So it really puts people in a, in my mind, they've created this whole system for doing it a certain way, but then they've kind of abrogated that by putting this other thing in saying, hey, but you can go about getting the evidence this way. I understand why the police want to be able to get the blood evidence, because it generally, in their mind, it makes their cases better. When you have a trial involving a DUI with no blood alcohol level, it's a harder case for the prosecutor. I've tried those cases, and they're harder. They're harder to win. It depends really on the facts of your case in terms of how well the officer did. So that is reason one why I have an issue with it, is it kind of goes against what they've created in the law. The second reason is, I just think that's wrong to be forcing people to be held down with a stick and needle in their arm for investigating a misdemeanor. I think that that level of intrusion into the human body is just so far beyond what the law should allow. There are instances where folks have to give substances pursuant to a search warrant in murder cases and rape cases in which they're getting DNA. Now, that involves sticking a Q-tip in their mouth and getting a buccal swab, not holding somebody down against their will and jabbing a needle in their arm. And really what's going to come up is an issue is, well, how many times does it take them to stick the needle in your arm before they get it right? You know, if you have difficulty giving blood, you know, they get to stick you 10 times, 12 times, go through your arms, go through your legs, your toes to try and get the blood out of you. I just don't think that's a road that we want to go down. I just think that is unreasonable under the Fourth Amendment, is an unreasonable search of somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did watch the entire video, and it is quite chilling. It's almost like a horror movie, you know, some kind of crazy police station, you know, run by maniacs that are drawing your blood like that. The other side of the coin is, of course, you can understand you don't want people drinking and driving on the road and killing innocent people, which happens all the time, every day. Is there a better alternative than this, you think?
I think that a better route would be, if you're going to allow the search warrant method for drawing blood, one, you've got to get rid of the whole implied consent process, because that effect seems to conflict with the effect of the draw. First, you have the right to refuse the test. Oh, by the way, we didn't really mean that, because now we're just going to go ahead and stick a needle in your arm. I think that at some level, society's interest in terms of, we just got to say, that's not right. You just shouldn't be doing that. I know that the law allows that, but the law allowed a lot of other things before that it no longer allows. I mean, you're no longer allowed to keep people from speaking with their lawyer when you're interrogating them, right to remain silent. Recently, the Supreme Court came out and said you can't use a dog to search somebody's house to sniff or drugs. because they find that as an unreasonable search, but you can use a dog to search people's cars. There are lines that are drawn by the courts over time that basically says that is not an acceptable method in terms of going about doing things, because this law would also allow forced blood draws if they think you're under the influence of marijuana. Not driving, but just say that I suspect that you're high, so I'm going to get a search warrant and I'm going to draw your blood and I'm going to charge you with possession of cocaine because you have that in your system. The mechanism is there. I don't know of any agencies that are currently doing that, but the same logic prevails, is that if they believe that you're under the influence and they can articulate that to a judge, that is essentially a crime. Now, with the way that the kind of population is moving towards legalizing marijuana, this law would allow you to go ahead and hold those people down to test them to see if they're positive for marijuana. Possession of less than an ounce of marijuana and DUI are both misdemeanors in Georgia. So the crimes with the same penalties associated with them. So I just think that at some place, you got to put a barrier in and say, look, we're not going to go that far. Yes, it's a horrible crime. Yes, it harms many people. But there's lots of things that do that, but there are limits that are placed on it.
Now, you said that 4 out of 159 counties in Georgia are doing. We have to know about other states across the union?
Just from seeing listservs with other lawyers, I know that there's other states that do it. Currently, there's a U.S. Supreme Court case this year where Missouri was doing it without a warrant, where they were just saying, hey, I think you're under the influence of alcohol and you're unsafe to drive, and it's going to take me too long to get a warrant, so I'm just going to take you to the hospital and have them stick a needle in your arm. Supreme Court this year said you can't do that. They said that basically just because the alcohol would leave your system before they were able to obtain a warrant, that that's not grounds to basically what's called a exception to the warrant requirement, where it's exigent circumstances. And they're just going to say that's not good enough. Just because it's going to leave their system doesn't give you grounds to go ahead and do that. And what they're doing in Georgia is saying, well, we're just going to have a judge sitting by, and they may have a judge sit at a roadblock they run one night so they don't have to wait at all, and they can just have a judge sign a warrant right there. Have someone sitting by the scene with a needle, or you can get a police officer who is a phlebotomist, and he can draw the blood.
Kind of like a mobile team.
Yeah, exactly. And there's actually an agency, it's called 10-8 Services, that is created by law enforcement officers just for that. They're the ones who are getting the contracts to do this, because normally the legitimate medical staff don't want to perform these things, and then they don't want to be hauled into court to testify about them either.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole industry for some former police officers to do this training and be able to testify in court.
Yeah, that is a big part of it, of course, keeping this machine alive. Where do you see this going, David?
It's tough to say. I know there's several cases in the pipeline right now working its way up to the Georgia Court of Appeals. The problem is it's also difficult to challenge, because you got to have someone who's willing to fight about it all, because the penalty for the refusing to take the test is much harsher than the DUI conviction. For example, if it's your first lifetime DUI, your license will be suspended for a year if you're convicted. However, you're eligible for a work permit immediately, and you can get your full license back within 4 months if you do certain conditions. If you refuse to take the test, you lose your license for a year, 12 months, no driving at all, no work permit available, and out in Gwinnett County, where they're doing this, there's not public transportation for folks to get around. So you really got to make a decision about what you want to pursue and what's in your best interest. And sometimes just taking the DUI is easier than what's going to happen to your license if you try to fight the refusal part of it.
Right, and of course, I guess the main thing to keep in mind is don't drink and drive, right?
You don't have to be guilty for them to go through this route. It is not illegal to have something to drink and then drive. So if you have one or two drinks and you're still below a .08, it's not illegal to drive, but that doesn't mean a police officer is not going to arrest you, take you in front of a judge, and try to get a warrant to draw your blood. I know in Douglas County, where they were doing it, the reporter who interviewed me, Randy Travis, they were promoting the program, essentially saying, look at the blood alcohol level of all these people. And he showed me the report, and I looked at it, and there was a bunch of people who were below the legal limit, you know, who that they prosecuted for DUI. And those people, you know, ended up coming in and pleading guilty, probably without even knowing what their blood alcohol level is. There's no mechanism out there that lets people know what their BAC is before they get into a car. You know, you just got to go on your own trust of yourself. But most folks have never blown into a machine, and you have no idea what the correlation is between how much you've had to drink and what you register. I've had specific training in that, where I used to be, when I was a prosecutor of DUI cases, we would be live drunk subjects for the police academy. And so we would go through the process of getting intoxicated and blowing into the machine and then having to perform field sobriety tests for new recruits. So I have at least some level of knowledge in terms of what that number is based upon what I'm feeling. But, you know, the average public doesn't. Bars aren't obligated to provide intoxilizer machines at their establishments to see if people can test themselves before they leave, to see what their condition is, which, you know, could be something that they put on the alcohol licensing in terms of, to be able to pour, you got to be able to have something to be able to measure people so that they know. Because a lot of it is that they don't know. It varies greatly from people depending upon height, weight, male, female, how much you've had to eat. Lately, a lot of cases now are more related to prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. Because there is no magic number in terms of what you've taken. And then the drug test result just shows whether you have that in your system or not. Doesn't really quantify it for you.
I should have asked this before. I know that you said that this pretty much came to light because of these videos that were finally viewed by certain people. How long has this been going on, David?
Douglas County's been in it for a couple of years, but on a much smaller volume. Gwinnett has done it starting this year. I basically had a couple of clients who came to me and they told me that, yeah, I refused to take the test, but then they forced me down and took my blood. And I was like, really? You know, I'd heard rumors about that, but I'd never actually had a case where they did it. So I started digging around and doing open records requests because they said there was a video camera in there. So I did a request to get the video of my clients and discovered that. I don't know how long other places have been doing it. Douglas County, Georgia pretty much had advertised that they did it, but without a lot of the media hadn't really been interested in it.
Seems like another slippery slope toward the police state. Is that too harsh to say that, David?
No, I don't think. I mean, this is coming out at the same time that the NSA is recording your phone calls and emails, and the same time that anyone who is arrested for anything is having their DNA swapped to check the database for unsolved crimes, which was just, you know, recently upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court. And so, yeah, the level of privacy that you once had, obviously with technology making it easier for the government to get into that information, it's just opening it up more and more. Now, like your cell phone, which has a lot more than just phone information on it, police are able to seize it and search it without a warrant. If it's on your person when you're arrested, well, they can take it and look through it and gather all sorts of information, and then they take that and they ping your phone to see where it's been in terms of tracking all your cell phone tower information, see where you've been in the last 48 hours, basically saying you have no expectation of privacy in those things because the phone company knows about it. Those are all types of things where the government is getting further and further into your business. Great if you're a prosecutor because you can find more information, but somewhere you got to wonder, is this what we want? Is this what the level of government involvement in your life that you want? And obviously, with stories in the media, you can see, can it be completely unchecked? Because all of these things are being done by the local people on the ground in terms of running their cases. And who's to stop them? Because the ones that make the news are only the one that's used to prosecute what the public may perceive as being guilty people. But that doesn't keep the other folks from digging into those cases and getting personal information about people's private lives.
Yeah. David Boyle, attorney in Georgia, a former prosecutor with extensive trial and courtroom experience. Now, I guess you could say on the other side. I want to thank you so much for the time you spent explaining all this to the listeners. It's a fascinating topic and looking forward to speaking to you in the future.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity.